Good morning. Thank you, Sam, for those songs. Couple of announcements before we get started. Jeff mentioned with the announcements, we need people to sign up for the cleaning of the building. You don't want Sam to have to chase you down and twist your arm. So let's do it voluntarily before it gets ugly, right, Sam? Anyway, we got plenty of openings for cleaning the building this year. Also, want to remind everybody, tonight's the last, not only Sunday of the month, but last Sunday of the year, and we'll have our singing and scripture service today and fellowship meal afterwards tonight. Want to invite everybody to come back for that. Before we get into our lesson, I just wanted to take a moment and give you a sincere thank you for a wonderful year. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to preach the gospel to you. It's Stacy and I's pleasure to work and worship with you here at South Valley, and we truly love you and appreciate all that you do and how much love you show us. But straight from the heart, let's get into our lesson. I want to look back at this past year. It's been a year. In a lot of ways, good and bad. We look at some of the economic issues that we've faced. During an election year, there's always a lot of emotional stuff with elections. Crime is always on people's minds and worries. But in spite of it all, the church has remained. The church has been constant. Let's just take more than a year throughout time. All the things, whether, the wars, the depressions, the calamities, the world disasters, the church has remained. In Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus was in the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he was asking his disciples, he says, "Who do people say that I am?" And they were saying, they were giving various answers. Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah. He goes, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter, of course, speaks up and says, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus responds, he blesses Peter, and he says, "And on this rock," that confession, that proclamation that Peter said, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, says, "And on this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." We've seen a number of ups and downs. We've seen a number of social, economic, political, personal issues this past year. Some have been a little stumble. Some have been gut punches. But the church has remained. We've gained some members. Some people have moved in. We have been very blessed this year. Our congregation is very blessed that we've had some people come our way, move in near us, and have immersed themselves with us, work, worship, encourage each other, and have taken part. Some have come in and have been taught and have been baptized. We've had some of you that are in here right now be baptized. And just like in Acts 2:47, it says, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. That's how you are saved, is when you are baptized. We've had some of our own members be baptized this year. But we need to remember 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6, where Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. It wasn't, we had a part. South Valley had a part in maybe the teaching or the encouraging or the right word at the right time to encourage that person to be baptized. But it was God that gave the increase. What wasn't us? Very rarely is somebody saved in a vacuum where just one person is the only contributing factor. But it's nice that our congregation has been a contributing factor to helping some be saved. Unfortunately, we've lost some. Some have moved away. People like Niger have taken jobs that have taken them to other cities. People have moved on to other places. Some have decided to worship in other congregations. Great. Bad for us that we miss them, but good that they're continuing to worship. Unfortunately, some have just fallen away. In spite of anything we've said, in spite of any efforts we've made, some have just fallen away from God and don't want any part of it anymore. Hopefully it's temporary. Hopefully it's one of those stumbles and they will get up, dust themselves off, and get back at it. Make sure, and this is also coming straight from my heart. Make sure that this time next year, you don't fall into that category where during 2025, something happens for you to lose your faith. Something happens where you get crossways, where something doesn't meet your expectations. Because the church is going to remain. Question is, will you remain in the church? That's the big question. Matthew 10:22, Jesus says, is telling the people that are listening to him, and you'll be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. But I had such a good start, Jesus. I was really going hard for you there for a while. He who endures to the end will be saved. John 6:66 says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. I was thinking about, with this verse, I was thinking about what we had been talking about in our Sunday morning Bible class, about the 12 plagues in Egypt, about how the Israelites saw before their very eyes work after work, power after power of the presence of God. And then they turned from him after such a brief time. Moses up on the mountain and they're worshiping a golden calf. And it's just like, how fast? And then just the next verse, Jesus asked them, then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? Really good question. Sincere question. Do you want to go away also? But Simon Peter answered, if I was on Jeopardy and the question was who's going to speak up, I'm guessing Peter. But Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Basically, where do we go? If we left you, where is there to go? Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what holds them there. Jesus held some for a while with the bread and the fish sandwiches he was passing out. Okay? The original McFish sandwich. Okay? He held some for a while with a free lunch. They didn't stay. This is what kept them. We have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. If that's not going to keep us here, I don't know what will. Paul reminds the Corinthians and reminds thus us, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. I never want to be one of those that people talk about. He seemed so faithful. What happened to Bruce? He used to attend all the time. He used to be so strong. Seemed to be. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Paul gives some encouraging, some introspective, examining yourself words here. Another thing about this past year, I know sound doctrine has been taught. Mentioned in Bible class, I like to think, and I say this humbly, not arrogantly, I like to think sound doctrine has been taught on Sunday morning. I hope it has. I've wanted it to be. But you know what? I give credit to the men, week in and week out, different men that rotate on Sunday night that have preached sound doctrine also. That the sermons in the morning and in the evening, they are sound. This congregation is known for sound doctrine being taught. The Sunday morning Bible class, the men that take the turns teaching Sunday morning Bible class, the women that are teaching the children, sound doctrine is being taught. Nothing hinky's creeping in. Wednesday night Bible class, sound doctrine is being taught. Not words of man. We go by the Bible. That's one of the things. We go by the Bible. Our gospel meetings. Every year, David Phillips comes out and preaches to us sound doctrine. I've told him the greatest compliment I can give him, not that he's going to deliver these necessarily whiz-bang, wow sermons, which they are. The thing I can say about David Phillips, it's going to be sound and it's going to be from the Bible. That's the greatest compliment I could give any speaker. Not their delivery, what they're delivering. In 1 Corinthians, in chapter 2, Paul says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in meekness, in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. I got to stop there for a second. Paul sure put on a good front then. Because I never would have thought of Paul like that. But obviously he was, because he's telling them. He goes, I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. Do you know the reason preachers speak behind a pulpit? So people don't see their knees shaking. The men that speak to you Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday morning Bible class, they're not always real confident. We've had talks before. The fact that they get up and deliver a message, the fact they get up and give a prayer, the fact that they get up and give a closing prayer, do the announcements. Some of them are scared to death. But you make them comfortable. More comfortable. And they're serving God in it. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That was Paul's whole goal, is that everything pointed toward God. Everything pointed to the belief in Christ. Not in him, not in anything else, but in the power of God. Acts 17:11 says, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. This is talking about the Bereans, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. This passage reminds me of the congregation at South Valley. Your Bible students, you study the Bible. I hear pages rustling during sermons. In Bible class, look at how many comments there are. And it's not, I think, I feel, and in my opinion. It's always scripture. It carries more weight than I feel and I think anyway. It's scripture. The Bereans searched the scriptures daily to make sure the things that were being taught. Not a doubt in my mind. Not a doubt in my mind. Some unsound doctrine started getting preached. It's going to be stopped. Because of the congregation. We've continued to have a good name for ourselves. We're a small group. I think I counted 90 people here today. We're not one of those big mega churches by any stretch of the imagination. But you know what? We've got a good reputation. With our own members, we've got a good reputation with visitors. We try to keep in touch with the visitors that we have. And they take the message back to their home congregations. The church is alive and well in Las Vegas. In Las Vegas? Sin City? There's Christians there? What casino do they meet in? You know? Yes, people live and work outside of a casino. Our visitors take the message back that Christians are in Las Vegas. You know, we have visitors, might even be watching right now, that South Valley's almost like their second home. That whenever they come to town, and which is sometimes a few times a year, they're here with us, worshiping, working with us, eating with us, whatever it takes. The mission support, the missions we support throughout the world are always thanking us for that support, that we are an encouragement to them. They're an encouragement to us. When I look at the efforts some of these missionaries are doing, the work, it's embarrassing to me. Man, I couldn't keep up with them for a day. It's encouraging to know, but yet they're thanking us for the prayers, the financial support, the words of encouragement, things like that. The activities and the service in the community that we participate in. In a week from Thursday, we're doing the serving our kids again. They sent a letter thanking us for not only the donations, but the time, the effort. We are seen in the community by people that aren't Christians. These guys are nice people. These guys are always helping us out. You know, the missions, we're always getting word that the people we're helping are baptizing people. God gave the increase. We helped a little bit. And these efforts are partly due to us. The community service, the serving our kids, our money that we help out with the Churches of Christ disaster relief effort. When there's the hurricanes, the floods, the earthquakes, whatever, and food and supplies are sent to congregations to help out. That word gets out. This is the passage that James read. Thank you for reading that earlier, James. Paul is writing to the Romans. He says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. That applies to South Valley. We're small, but we're fierce. We are small, but we're fierce. Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. You have and do. You continue to. And the last area I'd like to look at is we've grown. This time last year, I was trying to encourage people that for 2024, let's study. Let's really study. Let's everybody. I was trying to get people to open their Bible. That has been unbelievable. In a not arrogant, but you guys have like come up to me just informing me, I finished this book. I've studied the book of X, Y, or Z. Or I took this online class. I've taken another one. And I've taken another one. You guys, you've grown. You've matured. We're better. We're more mature this time now than we were 1 year ago. What else can you do but grow? We've grown in faith. We've grown in obedience. We've grown in our service, our fellowship. Our ladies, holy moly. Talked about the men, the things they do. men, we got to up our game. Because our ladies are leaving us in the dirt, in the dust. The service that they do, the teaching, the ladies' Bible classes. We got the weekly ladies' Bible class, the monthly ladies' Bible class. They counsel, just like the Bible says, the older women counsel the younger women and teach them and train them. They model behavior. They encourage the fellowship that they do together is so commendable. You know, and they're being our women are being requested to speak at other ladies' functions. Our ladies go to Ladies' Day throughout town. You know, we're always well represented by the ladies at the singings, the monthly singings, the ladies' days, things like that. Our women represent us well. They make us look good. 2 Peter, the Apostle Peter writes, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Do you have faith? Yes, add to it. Add virtue. To virtue, knowledge. But I've already read the Bible once. Add to your knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. Ouch. Can I just go back and read an extra chapter or something? No, you got to have self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have some challenges for you. Last year, the big challenge was let's study more. Let's remain strong and faithful. Let's let nobody. Some of you may move. You may move someplace. That's okay. We don't want you to, but that's okay. Some of you may move in town and decide to go to another congregation. Stay in touch with us. Don't fall away. Like Peter says, where are you going to go? To a denomination? To nothing at all? Just staying at home? Don't fall away. Share the gospel with others. I bet you every one of us could make a list of some people we would love to see be saved. Share the gospel with others. Increase your knowledge, increase your faith, increase your attendance. Increase your involvement. Don't forsake the assembling of yourself with the Christians, as is the habit of some, it says. And let your light shine. Above all, let our light shine in a dark, dismal world. That's your challenge for 2025. Last time you'll hear from me in 2024. I'll see you next year. I'll see you next year. We never like to close an assembly without offering an invitation. An invitation to better yourself. An invitation that if you're not baptized, to be baptized, to put your Lord on in baptism. That's how we get saved, is being obedient through baptism. If there's sin in your life, repent. We had a lesson last week about repentance. Quit doing those things. Don't try to be running that race of being a Christian, dragging that sin with you. Cut it loose. if you need prayers of your brothers and sisters, whatever we can do for you, please come forward while Sam leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.